once again to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 here. We are going to go ahead and continue in our study of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, we are looking specifically at verse 4. He says, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with them." We have already spent 3 weeks in this particular passage and the preceding verses, and we have noted that the Apostle Paul's concern is, of course, for the spiritual well-being, and can I say it this way, the spiritual sanity of these Corinthians, and of course, of you and me as well. You can see his concern back in verse 3, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Now, we're not going to go back through verse 3, but notice that what happens is that Satan has implemented a program that is designed to have a corrupting effect and a corrupting impact on the mind of the believer. He doesn't want us to live our lives on the basis of the mind of Christ. Rather, he wants to come along and see that we fall victim to adopting and believing and bringing on board a different Jesus, a different spirit, and a different gospel. And those things absolutely have a corrupting effect on the mind in relationship to the simplicity that we have in Christ. We have already talked about the issue of, verse 4, another Jesus. We talked last time about the issue of another spirit. And then today we want to talk about this issue of another gospel. But just keep in mind that if you're sitting under the ministry of someone who is preaching another Jesus whom we have not preached, or another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, remember that absolutely is going to have a corrupting effect on your mind in relationship to the simplicity that is in Christ. That's why this is a vital issue. It's an issue that you need to be aware of. It's an issue that you need to be on guard about. And not just for you and for me, but those that we have a privilege to be a part of their edification, a privilege to reach out to and minister to them, and so on. So, as we mentioned, we've already noted the issue of another Jesus. That's not another Jesus that is an invented Jesus. It's a Jesus that is a scriptural, but not the Jesus of this dispensation. Specifically, preaching Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery that was committed to Paul's trust. That's the Jesus that you want to be sure to preach and teach and follow today. When he says another spirit, I mentioned last time that you'll notice it's little s there. Paul is not talking primarily about God the Holy Spirit, but rather the way that God the Holy Spirit is working today. And that is, God the Holy Spirit is leading the believer to live under the liberty of grace. You see the great contrast, the another spirit that these Corinthians were receiving, if you look over to verse 20. Look at verse 20, he says, "For you suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face." That's clearly a different spirit, little s, compared to the spirit that Paul preached, little s, the spirit of grace, the Holy Spirit that leads us to enjoy the liberty and the forgiveness and the completeness that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we talked about the issue of another spirit last time, and we just simply ran out of time and didn't have enough time to speak about the issue of here another gospel. So that's what we're going to do today. Remember that you can determine whoever the preacher is, the teacher, whoever you're reading, whatever book you're reading, you can determine whether or not the gospel that they're preaching is the right gospel by one simple test. And that is, does it match Paul's gospel? I mentioned already, I think this is the third time now, that I believe it was William R. Newell who wrote that tremendous little tract, and I think it was entitled Which Gospel or something to that effect. And that was his statement, that you can determine any man's gospel, whether or not it's the right gospel, by one simple question. And that is, does it match Paul's gospel? From beginning to end, does it match the gospel of the grace of God as proclaimed specifically in the writings of the Apostle of the Gentiles, the Apostle Paul? And that is absolutely the test. Anytime you're going to sit under somebody's ministry or go to an evangelistic campaign or somebody's going to go share the gospel with somebody, you can tell right off the bat. Go to Galatians chapter number 1 here. Galatians chapter number 1 and verse 6. He says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. Now, Paul very quickly clarifies that there is not another good news. There's not another way to be saved in the dispensation of the grace of God, which is not another, he says there. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. That's an important point for us to appreciate, is that these, the teachers that Paul is concerned about, those guys that are leading the Corinthians astray, indeed, he goes on to say there in 2 Corinthians that for such are false apostles, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. He's saying Christ didn't send those people, period. Okay? And understand that they are preaching, notice, the gospel of Christ, but they're perverting that message. They are agreeing that Christ Jesus came and that he died for your sins and that he was buried and that he rose again. They're agreeing with that information. They're proclaiming that information, but it's what they do to that message that results in it being another gospel, in that it won't save, it won't do what God says the gospel will do. And that is, they pervert the gospel of Christ. It's interesting there. It doesn't say that these folks who are preaching this other gospel, once again, it doesn't say that they have come up with an invented gospel or a spurious gospel or a gospel completely unrelated to Jesus or unrelated to the Bible. It is a scriptural gospel. It's a biblical gospel, but it's not the gospel of Christ specifically for this dispensation. And what happens is that they take the gospel of Christ and they add something to it. And any time that you add anything to the finished work of Christ, any time that you add anything to the gospel of Christ, his work on the cross of Calvary for the basis of your salvation, what you did is you just perverted the gospel of Christ. You took the right message, but you perverted it, and hence you made it a wrong message. You made it a lie. You made it something that won't work. Okay, it won't result in the person's salvation. He says there at verse 7 again, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now notice what he says, notice the wording and warning, I should say, at verse 8 and 9. He says, but though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. You know, it's often said, how many times does God have to say something in order for it to be true? Well, he only has to say it one time. How many times does God have to say something in warning for us to get the picture? Well, probably about 1,000 times, because we just tend to not believe him. Okay, isn't that something? Well, here he clearly says it twice, that this great warning here, if any man, if he says, but that we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That's a pretty severe warning there. And it's something that we do need to take serious. It's something that we do need to heed, pay close attention to, be very cautious about, that we are not guilty of preaching another gospel. He says at verse 9, as we said before, says now again, if any man, any man, any man, doesn't matter who the man is, even Paul himself, think about that, even the Apostle Paul himself, if he preached a different gospel later on, than the gospel of the grace of God, then he himself is under the curse in that verse. He's under what's called the accurse in that verse. Okay? By the way, interesting side note here, and I'm not going to get off onto this just now. That demonstrates that the accursed in that verse cannot mean lose your salvation. It cannot mean that. And the reason is because Paul himself includes himself in the warning in verse 9. Of course, Paul could never lose his salvation. All right. So the accursed in the verse is not an issue of losing salvation. The book of Galatians describes in great detail what the accursed is. Okay, it's the blindness. It results in the blindness that comes from thinking you can be saved by faith in Christ, plus adding something else to it. But that's another whole issue, okay? At any rate, it's imperative, it's vital that we take serious the gospel message that we proclaim. And because of those two verses right there, God takes it serious. It is serious to the Lord. It is serious enough to him that he takes and writes this whole book about it, that is the book of Galatians, about the clarity of the gospel, the uniqueness of the gospel, and the fact that if any man preaches any other gospel, if they take and pervert the gospel of Christ, he says here, let him be accursed. Okay? So what we want to do then is the fact is that in the Bible, and specifically in the New Testament, there are a number of different gospels. There are at least five different gospels just in the New Testament. Okay, at least five. That comes as a real shock to some people. When you say that, they think that you're a heretic. And of course, they think about this verse right here, and they say, Paul says, there's no other gospel, so there can only be one gospel in the New Testament. Well, but they're missing something. Paul is talking about the gospel that he preached for this dispensation of grace in which we live. There are at least five different messages gospel just means good news, okay? There are at least five different messages called gospel in the New Testament, at least five. There's actually more than that, but I think the simplest thing to do is to be able to identify those five, and we briefly talked about that last time. There's the gospel of the kingdom, there's the gospel of the circumcision, there's the gospel of the uncircumcision, there's the gospel of the grace of God. There's the gospel of, there's what's called the everlasting gospel. So just a couple of general comments about the term and the use of the word gospel. The word gospel, it just simply means news that's good. We would say good news, okay? The glad tidings, things like that. If you'll look with me, when you talk about, for example, the gospel of God, God has good news. God has glad tidings and so forth. God has news that is good. Now, of course, he also has news that's not so good, which is the issue of repent, which is why they have to repent and change their mind about what's going on and so forth. But just understand this, that the word gospel, it simply means news that is good. And whenever you look at the term gospel, you want to read in the context to find out the content of the news that is good. So, for example, let me have you look over to Mark chapter number 1. Go with me to the book of Mark, chapter number 1. Watch this. Mark, chapter number 1 here. And notice at verse 1. Mark 1, verse 1. It says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, would it be fair to say that they're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Mark is writing about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is that an accurate statement? Yeah, we just read it. Right there, he just says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's good news about Jesus Christ. Okay? He's the Son of God. But if you'll notice the context here, look over to chapter 1, notice verse 14. Look over to chapter 1, verse 14, It says, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel, there's the word again, gospel, the gospel of the kingdom of God. Okay, God has some good news pertaining to his promise about a kingdom. See that there? The kingdom of God. The gospel of the kingdom of God. Good news of the kingdom of God. God has some good news about the kingdom. And of course, that kingdom is going to be centered in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is on the scene now. And so John begins his gospel with, hey, we've got some good news about Jesus Christ, Jehovah Savior, the Anointed One, who is going to sit on the throne of David in that kingdom. That was good news. If you look specifically, again, at verse 14 and 15 in chapter 1. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, now you got to make the connection there, and saying, quote, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Believe the good news. What gospel? The gospel that, quote, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God's at hand. If you and I were part of the disciples at that time, when Christ was there on the earth, and he sent us out to preach the gospel of the kingdom, here's what we would say. We would say, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. End of quote. That's what we would say. We would go out telling our audience, if we were the disciples, if we were the apostles, which we are not, okay, just in case you hadn't figured that one out, but if we were, and Christ sent us out to preach the gospel of the kingdom, this is what we would be telling our audience, which would have been Israel exclusively. Okay, we would not have been going to the Gentiles. We would have been telling Israel, listen up, Israel, the time is fulfilled. That's a reference to Daniel's time schedule. The kingdom of God is at hand. That is, the God of heaven promised in Daniel he would set up a kingdom on this earth. And that thing's at hand because Messiah is here and the time has been fulfilled. So, repent ye, change your mind, and believe this gospel. Believe that good news that the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Okay? So, back here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there, without question, is some good news about Jesus Christ, who's the son of David, the son of Abraham. He's the Messiah. He's Jehovah God, the Anointed One. He's in their midst. He's the one sent by the Father, the Anointed One. He's the servant of Isaiah that God through Isaiah prophesied. And he's come to announce right on time that the kingdom of God is at hand. So we would tell Israel, therefore, to repent, change their mind, and to believe that good news. Okay? The gospel of the kingdom of God is the news that the time is fulfilled. Hence, God sent the Messiah with the signs, miracles, and wonders. And God, the kingdom that God has promised to set up on this earth is at hand. And hence, Israel should repent and believe that gospel, that good news. Okay? So what I'm saying is that when you see the term gospel, you always want to ask the question, which gospel is being spoken about? And what's the content of that gospel? Well, you can see here the gospel of the kingdom, its content and who it's speaking about and what's going on. Let me try to use an illustration. I don't know if many of you take the newspaper. Out here, of course, there's several newspapers that are becoming less and less popular, by the way. They say that news media, print news media, is becoming less and less popular. But at any rate, the illustration will still demonstrate the point. Then out here, you know, the big papers are the Los Angeles Times, and if you're in San Diego, the San Diego Tribune, and I suppose if you're in New York, maybe it's the New York Times, whatever it might be, all right? Well, so what you have is you have a publishing house. You have a newspaper publishing company. And what they do each and every day, they publish the newspaper. They publish the news. Now, the content in that newspaper, it's published by the same company, in this case like the Los Angeles Times. So here's the news from the Los Angeles Times. And here it is today. Well, 6 months later, of course, they're publishing a newspaper every day and everything, but 6 months later, you have the same Los Angeles Times, and they've got some new news. They've got some news based upon, you know, 6 months from now or whatever. I'm saying that the source of the publishing of the paper is the same. That is the Los Angeles Times, that company, whatever the company is, okay? But the content of the news is different because you're 6 months down the road or a week later or a year later or 5 years later. The content is different. So, too, God has always had good news since Genesis chapter 3:15. God has always had good news, so you can always say that God has had a gospel, and hence the gospel of God. God has always had good news. Ever since the fall, God gave news to Adam and Eve of the seed of the woman that would come and crush the head of the seed of the serpent, and hence win the victory, win humanity back to God. That's the gospel of God in the generic sense. God has always had good news, all right? But over time, that news from God has developed, it's been given more detail, and hence over time, depending on the terminology like the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom of God, the gospel of heaven and so forth, it's all still good news from God, but it's more specific than simply a generic God has good news about redeeming mankind, okay? The gospel of the kingdom of heaven, the good news of the kingdom of heaven is the God of heaven is ready to set up the kingdom on the earth. The good news of the gospel of the kingdom of God is the God of heaven is ready to set up the kingdom on the earth and so forth. So it's still news from God. It still centers on the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's more specific in the content of its message. And when you're reading in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what you're reading about there, you're reading about the gospel of the kingdom of God, the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, all of which comes under the umbrella of the gospel of God, because the term the gospel of God is a broader term. It's more generic in its sense. And the context, you got to read the context to tell you the content of whatever the gospel is that's being proclaimed. Now, I trust that you know that when you're reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the Lord Jesus Christ is sending, look with me over, if you would, to Luke chapter number 9. Look over to Luke chapter number 9. When you are reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the Lord Jesus Christ is sending, has sent the apostles out preaching the gospel of the kingdom, look at Luke chapter number 9. It says, "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach," watch this now, "the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." When you check the cross-reference over in Matthew chapter 10, Matthew tells you that he sent them out to preach the gospel of the kingdom of heaven and to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and so on. That's Matthew 10, okay? So, he sends them out, and then if you look at verse 6, "And they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere." Okay, test question. Preaching what gospel, and how do you know? When it says at verse 6, "And they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel," what gospel? Well, you already were told in verse 2. "And he sent them to preach the gospel, to preach the kingdom of God." So they're preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Matthew records it as the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. Mark told you what the content was. The content was saying the time is fulfilled, repent and believe the gospel. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of God's at hand. All right, see that? So these guys are going out preaching the gospel. They're preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and they're healing as they go. Now, if you'll turn with me over to Luke, hold Luke 9, and go to Luke 18. Luke chapter number 9 and Luke 18. Look over to Luke chapter number 9. Watch this. I'm sorry, Luke 18. Luke 18, verse 31. Luke 18, verse 31. Now, this is obviously sometime after Luke 9, right? You understand that? This is obviously quite a bit later in the ministry, in the ministry of Christ and of the disciples here. Look at Luke 18, 31. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. Okay, now, is it fair to say that contained in verse 31 to 33 is Christ talking about his death and his resurrection? Absolutely. But look at verse 34. And they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. Okay, wait a minute now. If in Luke chapter number 9, they're out preaching the gospel, and yet in Luke 18, they don't even know he's going to go die and be raised again the third day, then can the gospel they're preaching in Luke 9, can it contain the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ? Is that in the content of the message they're preaching? Because the answer is no. I shouldn't even have to tell you that. But you'd be amazed how many people, when you show this and demonstrate this to, that they come up with some kind of objection to say, oh, no, they definitely were preaching it, they just didn't understand it. They say the 12 apostles are definitely preaching the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ here in Luke chapter number 9. They simply didn't understand it. Well, you know what? I think I'm going to believe God the Holy Spirit instead of you. And God the Holy Spirit says in verse 34 of Luke 18, that's 9 chapters later, and they understood none of these things, was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. So don't, you know, friends, don't tell me that they were out preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Don't tell me that the gospel of the kingdom of God contains the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ as part of the message that the 12 apostles were preaching. It doesn't. Indeed. Look back to chapter number 9 of Luke. Remember, Luke chapter number 9, verse 6, it says, Luke 9, 6, and they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. But look at this immediate context. Look at this immediate context. And notice what happens here. At verse 22, verse 21, and he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man this thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected of the elders, chief priests and scribes, be slain, and be raised the third day. Did you catch what he just said? He said, tell no man that thing, that he's the Messiah, saying the Son of Man is going to go die and be raised again the third day. They weren't even supposed to go tell anybody about it. Look at verse 44. Verse 44, let these sayings sink down in your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not that saying, and it was hid from them that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. You know, it would seem rather odd that if they are out preaching that Israel is to trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Doesn't it seem rather odd that whenever Christ talks to them about it, they don't get it, and it says it's hidden from them, and they even were afraid to ask him about it? That just seems kind of odd, doesn't it? Well, it isn't odd if you realize that the gospel of the kingdom of God, the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, it's good news from God about the Lord Jesus Christ, but it does not center on the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Rather, it centers on the establishment of a literal, physical kingdom on this earth with Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords ruling in that kingdom on this earth. If you look over to Matthew 16, Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, and notice at verse 21. This is immediately after Peter has clearly identified Jesus as the Christ, the Rock, the Son of the Living God, and hence the Messiah, the one who is going to rule in the kingdom as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But if you look at verse 21 in Matthew 16, Matthew 16:21 says this: "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." Now, is it reasonable to conclude from verse 21 that contained in what Christ just told these guys is his death and resurrection? Well, absolutely. He's going to be killed and raised again the third day. There's his resurrection on the third day. Verse 21 says, "From that time forth began Jesus." Then prior to this time, Jesus had not yet been talking to them about his death, burial, and resurrection. Or else words don't mean anything. Christ is a liar. See that? That verse says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples." Once Peter clearly identifies the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of the Living God, the Messiah upon which the kingdom was going to be built, and so on, Christ takes these guys aside and says, "Listen, guys, there's some other things that got to be accomplished first before I'm going to take that throne. That's I got to wear a different kind of a crown. It's going to be a crown of thorns." That's not the words he uses, of course. But he wants these guys to understand that before he's going to take the throne, he's got to be rejected. He's going to be killed, and he's going to be raised again the third day. He had not been teaching them this. He had not been talking to them about this, his death, burial, and resurrection up until this point. Well, friends, then there's no way, when they're out preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, when they're out preaching the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, they're not preaching to Israel that, "Israel, you need to trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of your Savior, Jesus Christ." They're not preaching it. That's not the content of that gospel. Indeed, verse 22 says, "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." When he does tell Peter about this, Peter actually, you can see Peter objects to it. If Peter understood, if Peter knew, and if Peter had been preaching that he and the other disciples and all of Israel and anybody that wants to be saved by faith in what God says, if Peter knew that they needed to trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, then Peter's response here seems... it just seems out of place, don't you agree? Don't you think that? Don't you see that? Indeed, when the disciples, when Christ is telling them about his death and resurrection, they're even puzzling, what should the rising of the dead, what does that mean? What are we driving at? That when you're in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the gospel that is being proclaimed is the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. The God of heaven says that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Messiah is there. He has his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Messiah, preaching that message. And the content of that message is the time is fulfilled, repent and believe the gospel. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the content of it. And the content of that message does not include faith alone in the shed blood of Christ alone, his death, burial, and resurrection. But on the other hand, when you come and look at what the Apostle Paul proclaimed as the gospel of Christ, when you look over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this is just one example here, but if you look over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at this. He says at 1 Corinthians 15, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you." Jump down to verse 3. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures," and so on. Now, would it be fair to say, would it be reasonable to say, that the heart of the gospel of what the Apostle Paul preaches is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ as good news, his shed blood is the payment for our sins, and hence, believing that good news, God will save you? Is that fair to say? Is that accurate to say? That the heart of the gospel today, that you can't preach Paul's gospel unless you center on the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ as the only solution for sin and justification. The only and exclusive solution for sin and justification. Yep, that'd be fair to say. It would be right to say. It'd be accurate to say. So wait a minute then. If the gospel of the kingdom of heaven does not include the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and yet the gospel of the grace of God, what Paul calls my gospel, if that includes the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ as the heart issue, the center focus, then don't you understand that the gospel of the kingdom of heaven is not the same content? It's not the same good news. It's not the same gospel as the gospel that Paul calls my gospel. Friends, that's at least two different gospels right there just in the New Testament alone. And we've mentioned that there's obviously at least up to five. Now, again, don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but do understand what I am saying. Okay? The term gospel means good news. God has always had good news. The content, the context, wherever you find the word gospel, make sure to read the context to determine what gospel is being spoken about. When Paul says over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, 2 Corinthians 11, he says, if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom you've not preached, if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Friends, you and I got to make sure that we preach Paul's gospel. And you and I need to listen to make sure that when we're hearing somebody preach the gospel, that they're preaching Paul's gospel, because that's the gospel for this dispensation. The gospel of the kingdom is not what is in effect today in the dispensation of grace. The gospel of the kingdom of God is not what's in effect today in the dispensation of grace. Rather, it's the gospel of the grace of God. It's what Paul calls my gospel. And the very heart of that gospel is the shed blood of Jesus Christ as the payment for our sins, and the resurrection as the evidence of that payment. The resurrection as the evidence that that shed blood propitiated the justice of God, and hence now God can look to you and me and offer reconciliation, offer justification. Friends, it's so vital. Indeed, Paul says that if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which I have preached unto you, let him be accursed. In our context here, the another Jesus is not another Jesus of an invented, it's not an invented Jesus. Rather, it's a scriptural Jesus, but not the Jesus of this dispensation, not preaching Jesus Christ according to revelation of the mystery, what God is doing today, what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing today in the dispensation of grace. That another spirit. It's not an invented spirit. It's not a spirit that is not scriptural. Rather, it is putting somebody back under the law program, as described in chapter 11, verse 20. You suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. It's seeking to put a believer under the instructions from a former dispensation. And that another gospel, it's not an invented gospel. It's not a mystical gospel. It's not something out of Eastern meditation or that type of thing. Rather, it's a scriptural gospel, but just not the proper gospel for this dispensation. Friends, I mean, think about it. Why would the Apostle Paul identify the gospel that he preached? Why would he call it my gospel? Romans chapter number 2. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Over, look, another passage where he uses that same term. Over in 2 Timothy here. Look over to 2 Timothy chapter number 2 here. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Why does he not simply say according to the gospel? Why does he use that distinguishing my gospel? Now, to him that is the power to establish you according to my gospel, Romans 16 says. Why doesn't he simply say the gospel? Why does he use that distinguishing my gospel, my gospel, my gospel? Friends, that is to make sure that you and I get the fact that he is distinguishing between the gospel that was committed to his trust for this dispensation as compared to the gospel that had been committed by the same Lord Jesus Christ, the same person, that had been committed to the 12 apostles who were apostles before Paul. It's a different program, friends. It's a different message for a different dispensation. Okay? All right, we're out of time for this morning's session. And we always like to open this up in case someone has a question or additional comments. So if you do, then just click on the raise hand icon. We'll give you the microphone, and then you can ask your question. If you don't have a microphone and want to type your question, and you certainly can do that as well, but just make sure that you pop your hand up so at least we know there's a question coming. We don't want to not get your question. And I'll mention as well that if you that we will be back on this evening for our next live session, 7:30 Pacific Standard Time. We hope that you'll be able to join us then. We're going to continue with our study looking at the Bible issue and specifically noting some of the differences in the translations, the English Bibles out there, and why it is that you should be using the King James Bible. And I think that we're probably going to be finishing that series tonight. If not, we'll finish it by next week, depending on what we can cover tonight and everything. But that's been a great series. We've had a lot of really good feedback on that, and it is available on our website. If you've missed those lessons, you can go back and listen to those lessons. Okay. All right. Well, I don't see any hands up at this point, so I think we'll go ahead and dismiss the class. We certainly would like to thank you for being with us, and hope that you'll be able to join us tonight again for our regular study time. Remember, as always, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. For by faith ye stand. Thanks. Have a great afternoon. See you later. Bye-bye now.